You may be seated, is from Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 through 12. The wise men, the magi, who came to bring gifts to Jesus. Let's see the different responses of the people in these 12 verses telling this story of the wise men and their visit with Jesus.
Good morning. Our scripture lesson today is Matthew 2, verses 1 through 12, and it can be found in your pew Bibles, 1497. The visit of the Magi. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judah, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born the King of the Jews? We saw his star in the east, and we have come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all of Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Christ was to be born. "In Bethlehem in Judea," they replied, "for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judea, are by no means least among the rulers of Judea, for out of you will come a ruler who will be the shepherd of my people of Israel." Then Herod heard the Magi secretly and found out from them that the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and make a careful search for the child, and as soon as you find him, report to me, so that I too may go and worship him." After they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen in the east went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On the coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. And they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, of incense, and of myrrh. And having been warned in the dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route. Here ends our first scripture reading.
Thank you for sharing that passage on wise men. And we're going to talk in a minute about wise people still seek him today. And I hope that's why you're here, to seek Jesus, to seek his will for this new year. You noticed as I was singing, I made sure to turn off my mic on and off, having to mute it, because I'm not a singer, so I can sing without being mic'd. I'm not a soloist, Joe, but I'm glad they tell me to sing so low that I can't be heard. But I like to make a joyful noise. I'm glad you're here. Just a little levity to start us off before we look at our sermon tonight, or today, not tonight yet. As I've aged, more cognizant of it at 62, but I'm usually at the bedside of those who are in their 90s, and some over 100. I have one man that's 106 years old that I saw this week, and he's still going. His mind is going too, just like mine is fleeting a little bit. But I read these for the new year, just a few, a little levity to start our message this morning. Age 60 might be the new 40, but 9 p.m. is the new midnight for me, okay? It's the start of a brand new day, and I'm off to a fast start, just like a herd of turtles. That's me as it gets going. Takes longer and longer. And the last one, and I notice this more and more, I remember being able to get up at one time without making sound effects. Do you find yourself doing that? Groaning a little bit? Sighing throughout the day? I think sighing can be good. It's relieving some of that stress that we build up during the day. But if you're not old yet, just wait. It'll come. And I'm glad that I'm older. Many people say, "I'm glad to see you." I say, "Well, I'm glad to be seen and not viewed." So I'm glad to be alive and here to preach this morning. I want us to think about seeking Jesus. Wise people still seek him from this story this morning. What are you seeking today? You look at our world and a lot of people are seeking fame and recognition and fortune, money, greed is very rampant in our society today. Christians are not immune to that. Some want power, and to show that power wherever that might be, in the church, at work, at home. Some seek material things, those corruptible things that will, moth and rust will come and destroy. And sometimes we seek things in vanity that may bring immediate satisfaction, but they won't bring true joy and peace that only God can give. We need to seek the eternal, that which is incorruptible. We need to seek God and His Son Jesus, who was born in that stable. We still have the Christmas tree up. God incarnate, the Prince of Peace. He lived that perfect life, set an example for us to follow, leaving us His teachings and the New Testament, forming the New Testament church, sending His Spirit to us. He died that we might be forgiven and be at peace with God. And He rose again to give us hope. That is the gospel. That is what we should preach, and that's what we should seek to live by each day. Well, these wise men sought out Jesus. I want us to hear the story and talk about the characters that are there and what it means to seek Jesus just for a few minutes. First verse that she read, verse 1, the first part, says that Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea during the time of King Herod. Now, just a little bit about King Herod. Herod the Great, he was one of many Herods in the Bible. But he was a very selfish, narcissistic, self-seeking, insecure king, you might say. He did some accomplishments. He had great building projects in Jerusalem and the area of Judea. He died at 70 years old, around the year 4 BC. So that sort of dates the birth of Jesus. It wasn't zero that Jesus was born. It was before that, before Christ, a little bit before that, dating the time of Herod. He was also known for his ruthless, cruel spirit and paranoia, and didn't want any rivals. He was not a Jew, but an Edomite, and he was in charge over the vassal area of Judea. He was known to have murdered many members of the Jewish ruling party, the Sanhedrin. He even murdered his own wife, his mother-in-law, I won't go there, and three sons. That's a different story of Herod and my three sons. Huh? Anybody watch that growing up? He was a cruel dictator. The people, the Jewish people, the people in Judea feared him for his tantrums and what he might do next. Even when he was getting old and toward the end of his life, you might say he was on hospice, he arrested many of the well-known distinguished leaders of Jerusalem on trumped-up charges, and he told the officials when he died, "You put them to death because I want tears to be shed when I die." Because nobody probably would have missed him. He was that kind of person. But the Magi came to Herod. In the second verse, the last part of verse 1, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born king of the Jews? We saw the star when it rose, and we have come to worship him." That was what they were seeking Jesus for, to worship him. They followed the star. They went to Herod to ask for directions where he might be. Magi from the east, it says. At the end of my sermon, we're going to see we three kings. This is pulling. I don't know why this is pulling. Put it in my back pocket. We three kings of Orient are. As we think about these Magi, I want to share a few facts about them. And in that first verse of that hymn, it's a little bit erroneous. First of all, they were not kings. They were Magi. They were wise men who were astrologers, theologians, skilled in medicine, skilled in philosophy. They interpreted dreams. In fact, church tradition even names them, three of them, as tradition says there were three, Melchior, Caspar, and Belshazzar. Daniel perhaps was the one who set up these wise men in the kingdom. In Persia, remember, the Jewish children were taken captive. They saw their wisdom, but he set up an order and instructed this order of men to look and to see the seek the signs that would pronounce the coming of the Messiah. And so they were not kings, but they were magi. So we three kings. That was, kings was not exactly accurate. Some have said that perhaps they were wise women. You get a little levity here. And not wise men. Why? Because they asked directions from Herod of how to find the baby Jesus. But if they'd have been wise women, they would have arrived on time. They would have delivered the baby. They would have cleaned the stable. They would have made a casserole. And they would have brought more practical gifts besides gold, frankincense, and myrrh. They'd probably bought some diapers or something that was practical for a newborn baby. Okay? But these wise men had great wisdom in many ways. Just to comment on that, know that we can have a lot of knowledge, but not a lot of wisdom. There's a lot of people with degrees behind their name that reject Christ and reject God. That's not wisdom, but that's foolishness. A wise person acts on the knowledge that God has given through his word, the written word, and through the living word as revealed in the person of Jesus. And so if we're wise today, like these wise men were, we will seek Jesus. It says, we three kings. I should have started there. We think there were three, but why? Because there were three gifts. But many say there could have been many more in the entourage that came that day or at that time to see the baby Jesus and to worship him and to honor him. And it says, we three kings of Orient are. And so a lot of times we think those three kings or those magi, those wise men that came, were from Asian descent. But we know pretty much from history that they were probably from all over that region to the east, Asia, Europe, and perhaps Africa. In fact, you see some manger scenes that they have those of color. And that's probably more accurate. And they came and they were following the star. They were seeking Jesus. They followed the star, that Bethlehem star. Some will try to explain it scientifically and say, well, this 7 BC, there was a conjunction of Jupiter, Mars, and Saturn. Others say it was in 2 BC, and Jupiter and Venus combined to make a bright star in the sky, because they can go back in astrology and chart what the sky would look back like in history at certain times. But whatever our explanation was, God supernaturally or through just a natural means of his creation created something to lead people to Jesus. This was the sign these wise men, these wise people had been looking for. And they knew scripture as well. They were theologians because they had read the prophecies of old. We saw the prophecy there in Micah that was read there in Matthew 2 that said this king, this Messiah, who would lead the Jews, be the ruler of the Jews, would come and be born in Bethlehem. If you read in Isaiah 61 through 6, it talks about as well that light that has come, the glory of the Lord has risen upon me. It talks about this light that shall lead people out of darkness. And at the end it says, a multitude of camels will cover you. All that rose from Sheba will come. They will bring gold and frankincense and will bear good news of the praises of the Lord. They will worship him. So this was found in the Hebrew scriptures. The wise men looked to scripture for guidance. For the new year, as we seek Jesus, what do we look to? I would say look to God's word, the Old and the New Testament, the Hebrew scriptures, and those scriptures that we look to as a guide for our faith and our practice, for our belief and our behavior. We can look to the world, and that's not our example. Our example is Jesus and the Word of God, the written Word and the living Word that he has given us. And of course, Jesus led that way and lighted the way to the Heavenly Father as the way and the truth and the life. Verses 3 through 6, continuing in the story. King Herod heard that what the wise men said, and he was disturbed, and all of Jerusalem with him. When he called together all the people, the chief priests, the teachers of the law, he asked them where this Messiah was to be born. In Bethlehem of Judea, they replied. For it is written, and here's the prophecy, I'll read it again. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, by no means least among the rulers of the people, from out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel. So he called the Magi in who had come, asking where this star was pointing to, where this king of the Jews was. He found them at the exact time the star appeared, sent them to Bethlehem. He says, go carefully search for this child. When you find him, report to me that I too may go and worship him. Again, Herod. Was he seeking out Jesus to worship him? No, he had a false motive, right? He wanted to kill him. In his insecurity, he wanted no rivals. This king of the Jews was born. He was taking no chances that somebody could usurp his power. He had impure motives. As we seek Jesus, as we are part of his church, the bride of Christ, what is our motives? Our hearts and our motives can be impure, can be led astray at times. Is it to advance God's kingdom? Is it to give God glory? Does it honor Jesus? Are we seeking him in what we do? He wanted to kill this baby. It reminds me of what the devil comes to do, to steal, kill, and destroy. But Christ, this baby who was born, came to give life and give it abundantly. He was opposite. He was evil versus Jesus, who represent all that was good, all that was pure. And so later we know what Herod did. He made a decree when they didn't report back to him because they figured out his false motive, that all male babies 2 years and under should be slaughtered. And it's known in history as the slaughter of the innocents, a terrible genocide of baby children in Judea. And for that reason, another falsehood you see back there, it's in the creche and the nativity scene. It depicts the three wise men there at the manger with the baby Jesus in the cradle. I mean, that's good for remembrance, but most agree that Jesus, by the time they arrived, could have been from 18 months to 2 years old by the time they made it to Bethlehem. You see, it was a long journey that they went on. Perhaps over 1,000 miles. You didn't just fly somewhere. You didn't just get in your car and drive. It was a caravan. They had to walk. So it cost them a lot to seek this Jesus, to follow this star, not knowing where they were going. It required faith to seek this Jesus, but they were willing to do it. It cost them a lot. And perhaps he was still in Bethlehem. At the time, Mary and Joseph were there, and he was a toddler, perhaps, by then. It says Herod was disturbed. We know why he was disturbed, but the people were also disturbed. They were disturbed, perhaps, because they knew Herod was disturbed, and whenever Herod was not happy, people paid the consequences. He would cause others to suffer. So they didn't know what was going to happen. They were on the edge of their seats. But also, the religious people, the scribes and the Pharisees, and the Sanhedrin and those who were in power didn't want to lose that power, and so they thought, who is this king that's coming? And we're not quite sure of this ruler of the Jews, who he was going to be, even though they were looking for a Messiah. And some people, instead of seeking Jesus, they get disturbed. There's unrest in their spirit instead of peace. Why? Because if you look at the life of Jesus and what he came to establish, he didn't come to establish a new set of rules, and even though he clarified the rules that were already given in the Old Testament, to establish a cold and harsh religion. He came to provide a relationship with God, to shed new light, to do what the old law couldn't do in the Old Testament. He was fulfillment of the Word of God and what God's plan and purpose was as revealed in the New Testament by his death and resurrection. Why else are we sometimes distressed by the teachings of Jesus and what it means to follow him and to seek him? Because Jesus says pretty hard saying sometimes. He said, if any man wishes to follow me, he must deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. Now, is that easy? No, it goes against our human nature many times. We don't want to deny ourselves of anything, do we? We want what we want, and we want it what? Now. And many times we seek things of this world to bring pleasure, to bring peace, but it falls way short of what God can give as we seek Jesus. And it requires sacrifice at times. It cried sacrifice for the wise men to find Jesus. And we're not really wanting to sacrifice. We don't always want to suffer. I like what it says in Philippians. We'll share in his sufferings and the glory of his resurrection. We want the glory of the resurrection, but we don't want any of the sufferings and the sacrifice. And that's why sometimes it disturbs us, it distresses us. We think, that's what it costs to follow Jesus? Yep, it may cost that. Our sinful nature sometimes is disturbed within our spirit. We want to do it our way and not God's way. We're proud by nature, and we have to humble ourselves to follow Jesus and acknowledge him as King. And sometimes we want to be exalted instead of exalting God. We want to be lifted up. We want to be worshipped instead of going to worship him. One simple prayer I say often is I look at the state of the world, I look at the state of my own life, and say, well, what's the answer? And I say, well, God, you're God, and I'm not. So I rest in that you're in control. And I'm putting my eggs in your basket. I'm trusting in you to take care of my life and take care of what's going on in this world. Let's close. Make sure I'm not skipping anything. So how did they respond? It required sacrifice. They sought Jesus. They followed this star. Verses 9 through 12. They heard that the king had went on his way, and the star they'd seen, it rose, went ahead of them. They stopped at the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed on coming to the house, the stable, the place, says a house here, not the stable, where the child was with his mother Mary. Doesn't mention Joseph, so maybe it was just Mary and Jesus there. I don't know. Doesn't matter. They still saw Jesus. They found Jesus. And what did they do? What was their response? They bowed down and worshiped him in humility. These wise men, these people of high reputation, these people that were well respected, they humbled himself before the baby Jesus and worshiped him. If we're to seek him, we need to worship him daily, not just what we do here on Sunday, but each day. I like the old English word for worship. It's the old English word for worship is worth-ship. What is God worth to us? How much do we value him? How much do we appreciate him? How much do we demonstrate our love for him and our worth in our lives, in our world? My life should be worship. My daily activities should be acts of worship. Nah, God is not concerned about the songs we sing and what we call worship on a Sunday morning or the liturgy and how it's laid out. He's concerned about our hearts and our worship of him. And that's what these wise men did. They didn't just read a prayer, sing a couple of hymns, give an offering, but they did give an offering. They gave their hearts to him, I think. They worshiped him. And they presented these gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And we're going to close with this. Gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Because these were very valuable gifts that they brought to Jesus as they sought him and they found him. And as we contemplate, what do I need to give him for 2022? Gold was a very precious commodity. We know in ancient Egypt, we look at the tombs of the pharaohs, they had the gold death mask of Tutankhamun you can go and see. But it was a precious commodity of great value then as it is now. But gold was a gift that was worthy to be given to a king. And so the symbolism here is that the wise men said, this baby who has been born in Bethlehem, he's the ruler of the Jews, but he's also our ruler. and we acknowledge Him as King, as King of Kings, as Lord of Lords. And so for 2022, I have to ask myself, what am I going to give Him? But is Jesus my King? Is He my Lord? Some try to discount Jesus as being King and said He was just a good teacher. But I heard someone say Jesus was either Lord, King, who He said He was, or He was a liar, or He was a lunatic. I say that He is Lord. If He is my Lord and King, I need to obey Him, I need to serve Him, I need to worship Him, I need to honor Him. Gold represents His kingship. Then they brought frankincense and myrrh. I don't know why they didn't bring diapers. That would have been more practical, and wipes and some other things. But they brought these things to honor Jesus as King. Frankincense and myrrh are two aromatic spices that were not easy to obtain. They had to be processed, similar to like maple syrup. We get the sap of a maple tree. You have to heat it down. But you have to process it to get the end result. Frankincense is a very fragrant incense. In fact, I have some frankincense oil in my car that sometimes I use for anointing's sake. It has a very aromatic, very pleasant smell to it. But frankincense is symbolic of His deity. That Jesus is a King and Lord, but He's also God. We worship God the Father, Jesus the Son, and His Holy Spirit. Three in one. Not three gods, but one God. Jesus was God in the flesh, His incarnation. God came to earth and incarnated Himself in a body in the person of Jesus because He loves you and I, and He wanted us to know that He understands and relates to our struggles and our problems, our fears, our anxieties. He loves us that much. If He's God, we need to worship Him as God. He's God and I'm not. Remember that. And then myrrh. Myrrh was a bitter ointment that was used to anoint the dead. In fact, they used it in anointing the body of Jesus, I'm sure. For embalming purposes, to wrap the linen cloths and to interlace the linen cloths with the myrrh. And I think this gift was symbolic of why Jesus was born. He was born to die, symbolic of his death. He was born to save the world from its sin. Jesus is our Savior. Jesus is King. Jesus is God. These gifts reflect that. So in conclusion, as we think about the wise men seeking Jesus, let me just review. These wise men, what did it cost them? They didn't seek great status among men. Their wealth, their knowledge to get in the way, they didn't allow that to get in the way of seeking Jesus. They were truly wise men. They humbled themselves and they worshiped Him. They risked and were even willing to sacrifice, because it was dangerous going to Herod, anybody coming into His presence to find this Jesus. What are we willing to sacrifice? They were willing to follow God and His guidance. A star that had been prophesied in the Hebrew Scriptures led them to Jesus. The light of God's Word, the light of Jesus, the light of His Holy Spirit guides us each day if we'll let it, if we'll listen, if we'll read it, if we'll obey it. And they were willing to give their time, however long it took to go those 1,000 miles or however many miles it was. They were willing to give their money for this 1,000-mile journey. They gave these valuable gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. We're going to sing We Three Kings. Notice what it says about those three gifts and what they represent. It says the same thing that I just said. But as we sing this hymn in closing, what do I need to give Him? How do I need to respond to Jesus as King, as God, as Savior? Number 288.